Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jen, and you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. This is Monday night, February the 24th, 2014, and I am so excited to be on the air, as I am every second and fourth Monday night of the month. Tonight, I know that we've got a great show in store for you. We're going to be talking about prayer. I hope that you'll join the conversation. Right now, as we get started, I want to remind you of our call-in number that you can call in at any point in the next hour. It's 8 o'clock right now on the East Coast, 5 o'clock Pacific, and you're welcome to call in for the next hour until 9 o'clock. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And as I said, tonight I really want to focus our time together on prayer. And 2 weeks ago we had a show where we talked about meditation. We did a little bit of spiritual practice of meditation. I hope that you've had an opportunity to listen to that show on the archive if you weren't able to listen live. I would also encourage you to go to my website to www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. The SEED stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction, and that is my coaching and spiritual direction business. And on my website, there's a tab for Blog Talk Radio. And if you go to that tab, you'll see all of the episodes that I've done so far on Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and all of the links to those episodes are right there. So you can always go there to find any of our back episodes. Also, to let you know that Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, as well as all of the episodes on the Life Coach Radio Network, are available for free download on iTunes, so that you can take those episodes with you and listen to them on your iPod or on your iPhone whenever it's convenient for you. And we just love having that opportunity to make all of these great programs available to you at your convenience and when it suits you. So glad to have you listening, whether you're listening live or you're listening in the archive. I just know that something that I just pray, and I really do say this very sincerely, I pray that whatever is said tonight will nurture you and your spiritual life in some way. As I said, there are lots of other great shows on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm sorry, the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. And a number will be coming up shortly on tomorrow at noon. We've got Fund to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success. And that show is usually hosted by Coach Jeff, but tomorrow we've got a guest, Patricia Moreno of Intensity, and she'll be hosting that. Then on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we've got Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruschelman. And I got to meet Andrea a couple of weeks ago at our Life Coach Radio Network workshop weekend in New York City. She's a fabulous, fabulous speaker. I know she's a great life coach host on the Life Coach Radio Network, and I highly recommend that you listen to Andrea's show on Friday at 7. And then on Sunday, we've got Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw. And then again, next Wednesday on the 4th, Fund a Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff this time, we'll be back. And the Fund a Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success Show is always at noon on Wednesdays. So looking forward to spending some time tonight with each of you in just a spirit of prayer. So I wanted us to just take a moment and quiet our hearts, quiet our spirits, quiet our souls in whatever way sort of meets your spiritual needs, aligns with your spiritual tradition. I do have a disclaimer kind of starting out tonight that I will be talking about prayer and prayer from a number of different religious perspectives, but I am an ordained pastor in the Christian church, in the Protestant Christian tradition, and so certainly my experience and my knowledge of prayer comes from that that tradition, that lineage, that understanding of prayer. And so while I hope to broaden that to include other types of prayer, I just want to kind of own who I am as a spiritual person and the ways in which I understand prayer from my perspective. That does not mean that I don't welcome others' perspectives. So if you're listening and you'd love to join the conversation, I would certainly love to have you. And our guest call-in number, let me give you that again, is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And you're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. So let's just start tonight with taking a moment to center ourselves, quiet our hearts and minds, and just a moment of silent reflection on your day, on the concerns of your heart. Take a deep breath in. Let it out. And with that, may we say the simplest of prayers. As we breathe in, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And we let it out. One way certainly to be in prayer and be in a spirit of mindfulness in prayer is to really have that, as we often call it, an attitude of gratitude, of being present in our moments, in our everyday lives, thankful for the gifts that we have, for all of the blessings that we enjoy, even when it's sometimes very difficult to see past our own challenges and our own issues and dilemmas. I find that very often I fall down as well as many of us do, I think, around being able to keep up this attitude of gratitude. As some of you who read my blog may know, I have been writing a daily blog. It's called 365 Days of Women's Wisdom. And I've been mentioning on the blog that things in my physical surroundings, my home, are a little chaotic right now. We're putting in a new kitchen, had some repair work, painting done in the upstairs in the bedroom areas. And while it's all wonderful and it's an incredible blessing, I am not a person who deals very well with chaos. And so it has been a bit challenging for me to feel the kind of gratitude and to feel, even though I know that this is an incredible blessing, and at the end, when all of the hard work that has been done by so many that I am incredibly grateful for is over, and there will just be a wonderful new kitchen and just really wonderful living space, living in the chaos of the now, I'm finding challenging, which even as I say this, I know that it's silly and it feels as though I'm not particularly grateful at all. And I am, I certainly am, certainly for all of the people who put in the hard work and money to make this happen. But it can be challenging, even when we know that we should be grateful or that we need to be grateful to be able to say thank you, I think is very challenging. I have this wonderful little book called Praying Like Jesus, and it was a response to the prayer of Jabez. And maybe some of you had heard about this. This was big in the 1990s, if I'm remembering correctly, where there was, it came out of the book of Second Chronicles, and there was this person whose name was Jabez, and he prayed to God that God would enlarge his territory. And that prayer seemed to pop up in every Bible bookstore across the United States. It really fit into sort of our consumer mindset of really asking for more and more and more. And so this little book called Praying Like Jesus by James Mulholland, it's called The Lord's Prayer in a Culture of Prosperity. And this book really came up as a response to the prayer of Jabez, and basically calling that prayer into question. Because when Jesus' disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, he didn't pray the prayer of Jabez. In this book, Mulholland writes, the proper attitude for prayer, it's bringing our fears, concerns, worries, and questions to one who has the answers. The point of prayer is not to tell God what we want, but to receive what we need. It is not approaching God with our demands, but listening for God's leading. It is not seeking our will, but learning to discern God's will. This is so important to understand in a culture that caters to our every whim. Prayer isn't about me. It's about God. I just love that. That prayer isn't about me. Prayer is about God. I know that so many people, and as a pastor, as a minister, as a spiritual director, it's always curious when I get the question on an airplane, or when I'm sort of sitting and I have a, you know, strike up a conversation, or a stranger next to me strikes up a conversation with me, you know, one of the very first things that we get asked is, so what do you do? And there have been times and moments where I've said, well, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. And people are usually surprised if I tell them that I'm a pastor or a minister or a spiritual director and life purpose coach, as I'm doing now. And they're always very curious. First of all, people will, very interestingly, people will open up, I think, in ways that they wouldn't normally open up to a stranger. But they also may pose questions about their spiritual life and their spirituality in ways that they normally would not do. And I've always found that very interesting. And I have even had some folks ask questions about prayer, and they don't understand prayer, or, you know, how do you pray? Do the words matter? I think so many of us get really caught up, particularly around prayer, making sure that the words that we say really matter and that we get the words right. And that's what I loved so much about that, the quote that I just read, that prayer isn't about us, that it's about God. And because God is God, God sees into our hearts, God knows what it is that we are trying to say, even when we can't formulate the words. There's a wonderful few verses that come from the Christian scriptures, the New Testament, as some folks call them. And this is one of the letters of the Apostle Paul when he writes to the church at Rome, and he says this about prayer. And he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Paul was writing to a church that was really in turmoil and was certainly in the midst of prosecution, and it was located in the most powerful city on the earth, where to say the words, Jesus is Lord, was considered traitorous to the emperor. So I love how Paul says, you know, we don't have to use words. And when we don't know how to pray as we should, the Spirit intercedes for us. And it intercedes for us in ways that aren't about words. They're not about words, and they're not about getting the words right. That's what I've heard from so many people, is the fear of prayer is the fear of not knowing what to say, not knowing how to formulate the words, not knowing the right thing to say, and feeling as though we have to get it right. And that's the beauty, I think, that Paul is telling us, and that God is reminding us through the scriptures, that we don't have to get the words right, because it's not about us. It's about God, and it's about us wanting to be in relationship and in deeper relationship with a God who loves us so much that we can't possibly get the words wrong. If the Spirit is right, and if we go into our prayer time just trying to be open and trying to understand what it is that God is wanting from us. Again, I just want to invite you to join our conversation. The call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. I'm Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler, and I'm so glad that you're listening in tonight. Whether you're listening live or you're listening to this after the fact, I would love to, for all of those who are listening live right now, if you'd love to call in, I would certainly love to have a conversation with you about prayer. You don't have to identify yourself. You don't have to feel as though, you know, you have to get the words right either. If you have something that is coming to you, is coming on your heart, that you would like to share with the group, if you have a question about some different types of prayer, I would encourage you to share that. One thing I've come across in my prayer life is using different kinds of prayers. So sometimes, you know, the prayers are all mine, and it's just expressing the prayers of my heart. And we'll talk a little bit about that and a little bit more deeply as the show goes on. At other times, I've used prayers that are written by other people, prayers that are, you know, have been published in a book of prayers. One of my favorites is a little book called Soul Weavings, which is a gathering of women's prayers, and it was edited by Lynn Klug. It's just full of wonderful, wonderful prayers by women, some short, some long. I've used them in worship in different ways in the past, but I also really enjoy using them in my private devotional time. And in the preface of this book, I found it just really helpful. She asked the question, why use written prayer? is that a well-written prayer is like a picture, capturing a view of one person's spiritual landscape. As with pictures, we will be drawn more to some than others. Some prayers will help us to identify how God is already present in us and in the world. Others will become a real encounter with God, transforming us and calling us to respond with our lives. Still others may reveal our longing for the relationships we would like to have with God and with those around us. Certain prayers being places for times when our resources are low. It is easier to accept our own struggles when we find that we are not alone. I love the idea that if I read a prayer that has been written by someone else and it really echoes where I am in my heart, that it's a realization for me that I am not the only person to ever experience this particular pain or this particular struggle, that others have always and that life for so many is a series of these kinds of struggles. We struggle with relationships. We struggle with work. We struggle with responsibilities. We struggle with feeling overwhelmed. I talked about that in my blog today. But let's think about for a minute, how do we use these written prayers? You know, how do we use them to deepen our spiritual life? And they can be used, she writes, as a framework or a starting place for our own prayer. We can add to them, expressing our specific concerns. What am I feeling? What work might be mine to do? What do I need? What sin or evil do I want to be free of? What do I long for? What blessings do I rejoice in? Who has forgiven me and whom have I forgiven? Sometimes, she writes, we use the words we think we should, but if you can't honestly pray a part of some prayer, let it go. It's also prayer to be honest with God about why you can't say certain things. If you keep a journal, record your prayers along with any insights, emotions, or desires to act that seem significant, God speaks to us through our own ideas, as well as through the ideas of others. For many of my clients, I do recommend that they keep a prayer journal, some kind of a record of their prayer life. Taking time to just reflect on what God is doing in your life or the ways that you see that God is moving and the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. Gives you a way to reflect on the experience of prayer. And what's interesting is that over time, I've seen and my clients have seen the ways in which patterns start to emerge around prayer, the things that we pray about, the things that happen, the way that prayer truly changes us. So just kind of coming back to this book and the ways in which we can use these written prayers, this is one way that she suggests that we can do that. She said, first, read an entire prayer slowly, out loud if possible. Two, take some deep breaths and sit quietly for a few minutes. Three, read the prayer again. What part do you respond to most strongly? Be comfortable with silent spaces between thoughts. Four, read the prayer once more. Be quiet. Be open to its effect on you. Where is God leading? Five, trust that whatever you experience during this time, God's grace is at work in you. So read it, sit in stillness, do some deep breathing, read the prayer again, What sparkles for you in that prayer? Read it once more. Be quiet, be open to its effect on you. Where is God leading? And finally, trust that whatever you experience during this time, God's grace is at work in you. Julian of Norwich, who is a women mystic from the 14th into the early 15th century, this wonderful quote, she says, "The fullness of joy is to behold God in everything. God is the ground, the substance, the teaching, the teacher, the purpose, and the reward for which every soul labors." I wanted to read one of the prayers that comes from this book written by a woman named Nancy Merson. And I want us to, I'm going to read it out loud. I'm going to then invite us to just take a couple of breaths. Let it sit with us for a few moments. Read it again. Think about what shimmers for you, what sparkles for you, what jumps out, resonates for you in this reading. Then just sit with that for a moment. Ask yourself, where is God leading? And then finally, trust that whatever has come for you from this prayer is what God has for you in this moment. O merciful one, I come to you as the Samaritan woman came to Jacob's well, seeking to quench her thirst. Tell me who I am. I have looked for you outside myself, seeking you in the streams of others' lives, in the visions of others' dreams. Yet my thirst remains. Tell me who I am. Speak to me from the wells of your mercy and love. Reveal to me my inner waters of healing and renewal. Tell me who I am. Release the waters of compassion and caring, healing and hope that flow within my body. Let these waters flow through my life and overflow into the lives of others. Tell me who I am. As I read this prayer again, I invite you to listen for what shimmers, for what resonates with you within this prayer. O merciful one, I come to you as the Samaritan woman came to Jacob's well seeking to quench her thirst. Tell me who I am. I have looked for you outside myself, seeking you in the streams of others' lives, in the visions of others' dreams. Yet my thirst remains. Tell me who I am. Speak to me from the wells of your mercy and love. Reveal to me my inner waters of healing and renewal. Tell me who I am. Release the waters of compassion and caring, healing and hope that flow within my body. Let these waters flow through my life and overflow into the lives of others. Tell me who I am. As I read this prayer one last time, I invite you to be attentive to God's leading and to the message that God has for you in this prayer. O merciful one, I come to you as the Samaritan woman came to Jacob's well seeking to quench her thirst. Tell me who I am. I have looked for you outside myself, seeking you in the streams of other lives, in the visions of others' dreams. Yet my thirst remains. Tell me who I am. Speak to me from the wells of your mercy and love. Reveal to me my inner waters of healing and renewal. Tell me who I am. Release the waters of compassion and caring, healing and hope that flow within my body. Let these waters flow through my life and overflow into the lives of others. Tell me who I am. I would invite you, those of you who are listening on the archive version, to just take a moment, maybe pause this for a moment. If you have a journal, write it down, or just take a moment to reflect on what God is leading you to through these words. For those of you who are listening live, if something has come up for you that you would like to share, that that phrase, that thought that shimmers for you in these words, I invite you to call in. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. It's a challenge to talk about all the myriad of ways that prayer happens when we are on a show and I'm not talking to you face to face, and I'm trusting that you who are within the listening range of my voice are receiving from God what you need in this time. There are things, certainly things that I use that often help me to be more present in my prayer life. I have, first of all, a prayer shawl that was given to me by a group of women from a church where my husband has served. When I was going through a particularly difficult time, and this shawl, I put it around me and it keeps me warm. It reminds me of the love and the prayers that came to me from that group of women during that very difficult time. It reminds me of God's love that is always surrounding me, wrapping me, keeping me warm. And it reminds me that God's love really made tangible to me by those women during that time. I also will often light a candle, something on which I can focus and be reminded of God's Spirit who came to the followers of Christ on the day of Pentecost. And it was the visual of that is flames of fire that were dancing around and that were landing and around people, and sort of a glow that came from above, these tongues of fire, as it's called. Finally, I have a prayer cross that is a wooden, whittled piece of wood in the shape of a cross, very round edges, one that can be held, and just a reminder of a physical reminder of the God to whom I, as a Christian, a Protestant Christian, pray that this is a God who is with me, who in our understanding came and lived among the people on this earth. And so we have a God who understands what it's like to be a human person, the struggles of being humanity, understanding just the hungers and the and being, as we often say in Christian theology, both fully human and fully divine. So God is God, but God also came to earth and was very present and knows exactly what it is that it is, you know, what it's like to be human. And God, through Jesus Christ, taught us how we ought to live, how we ought to pray, how we ought to be in the world, and that we are to follow that example in order to be followers of Christ in the Christian tradition. Another way that I know that many of my Roman Catholic friends and I have used as well are rosary beads, which are wonderful reminders of a prayer cycle, the rosary, which is comprised of the Our Father, which is the Jesus Prayer. Other people call it the Lord's Prayer. It is the prayer that Jesus used as the example when his disciples asked him, how do we pray? He taught them the Lord's Prayer, or as others call it, the Jesus Prayer, or the Our Father. It also is comprised of a prayer to Mary, and to asking her to pray with me and for me. And it also includes the doxology, or the glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are all ways of praying, and the rosary is put together in such a way that there's a series and it's a rhythm, and that as you pray the rosary, you deepen your experience of that, because you really move past the words. The words are a way of focusing you into that presence of your experience with God. But it goes beyond the words. It's not just about reciting these same prayers over and over. It's being able to recite them over and over. And because of the repetition, you get way past the words. And even as I was reading the prayer from Soul Weavings, the purpose of the repetition is that we get past the words, we get past what maybe someone else was trying to communicate with the words, and we get to where our heart meets the heart of God, is in the repetition, the focus on the ways in which we are feeling God's leading, God's nudging as we move through this. Again, thank you for listening in. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. We've been spending the last 40 minutes talking about prayer, and we'll spend the next 20 minutes. And if you have anything that you would like to talk about, that you would like to offer, any understandings about prayer from your particular religious tradition that I haven't touched on, I really welcome you to call in. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And, you know, the other part of prayer is that prayer changes as we become, as we deepen in our faith. There's a wonderful book that I have mentioned on this program in the past called Naked Spirituality, and that's written by my friend Brian McLaren, and I would really recommend that if you are really wanting to learn more about ways that you can deepen your spiritual walk or really understand your spiritual walk, I would encourage you to pick up this book. It's a really wonderful, Brian says in the beginning of the book, he kind of explains the 12 practices that he goes through in the book. But he talks about spiritual experiences in general, but also, you know, how the fact that as we go through our walk of faith, our spirituality changes and it shifts. And we move from a more simplistic, more naive understanding of God, which is sort of the season, he calls it the spring-like season of spiritual awakening. There's four different movements. It's like our seasons. The first one is simplicity. This is the spring-like season of spiritual awakening. And that is the time when, you know, everything seems easy. You've had a spiritual experience. You've come into relationship. You understand or you've experienced God in a really powerful way. And the practice here is the practice of invocation and presentation, that you're just invoking God's spirit, awakening to the presence of God, the practice of gratitude and appreciation, awakening up to the goodness of God, then the practice of worship and awe, which is awakening to the beauty and the joy of God. These are the three things that happen during this first season of simplicity. And then from there, oftentimes, and he described how this happened for him in his own spiritual journey, that the season of complexity is the summer-like season of spiritual strengthening. So we move from simplicity to complexity. We start to understand or maybe to explore the ways in which we had not seen faith before. So we've got the practice of self-examination and confession, strengthening through our failures. Also the practice of expansion and petition, strengthening through weakness. And the practice of compassion and intercession, strengthening through empathy. So self-examination and confession, strengthening when we have failed, expansion and petition through our weakness, we ask for God's help, and also through compassion and intercession, we strengthen through empathy. We ask God, please, please help our friends. Then we move from simplicity and complexity into the season that Brian refers to as perplexity. It's the autumn-like season of spiritual surviving. It's when we're in our faith practices, in our religion, and we are literally perplexed. It's the practice of aspiration, exasperation, and desperation, surviving through delay. Living through those times when God says no. Also, the autumn-like, the season of perplexity includes the practice of rage and refusal, surviving through disillusionment. When you find that the faith that you had been practicing may not just be as simple or as easy or as effortless as you thought. And then the last part of this, the last practice, is the practice of lament and agony, surviving through abandonment. That's the third movement in the Season of Perplexity. It's a wonderful book that I'm sure I've mentioned on this program before, but it's called Listening for God, a Minister's Journey Through Silence and Doubt. And it's written by Renita Weems. It's a fabulous book. It's a wonderful book to keep on your nightstand and to be able to pick up and read a few pages. They're all short vignettes, short stories, if you will, about her life, her journey, her life as a woman in ministry, as a minister, who experienced silence from God. And she talks about the ways in which her very loud, boisterous, Pentecostal, evangelical upbringing did not prepare her for the times when God is silent. And that's part of this Season of Perplexity. It's surviving through abandonment, surviving through disillusionment, surviving through delay, when perhaps we don't hear God at all. We don't hear no, we don't hear yet. We're in the season of wait. Now beyond that, thankfully, that is not the end of the story. We go through to the season of harmony, which is the winter-like season of spiritual deepening. And it's interesting to be reminded and to remind ourselves that sometimes we have to go through those more difficult seasons in order to come to a much more spiritually deep place. So the practice of meditation and wonder, deepening by seeing, the practice of consecration and surrender, is deepening by joining, and the practice of contemplation and rest, deepening by being with. And Brian describes in the beginning of this book the ways in which these seasons, like the seasons of the year, the seasons of our lives, repeat. And so we don't stay in one season. It's not like in the first 20 years of our lives, we're going to be in the season of simplicity, and then we move in the next 20 years into complexity, and the next 20 years into perplexity, and the last years of our lives in harmony. No, it's much more like a spiral, a helix, if you will, that as we go around, we also go up, so that when we visit the season of simplicity again, it's not as if we're visiting it for the first time. And it's not exactly the way that it was before. And even in those more difficult times and seasons of perplexity, when we are truly perplexed, they're not the same. Maybe they're different in a different way, but we've learned from the seasons that have come before. We've had the seasons of harmony and the seasons of simplicity and the seasons of complexity in order that undergird the seasons of perplexity, so that as we move through our life, as we move through our journey, we can see the ways that these varying seasons can play out in our lives when we are being an intentional spiritual person, and we're really working on deepening our spiritual connection to the God of our understanding. We've only got 10 minutes left. I want to invite any of you who may be listening, and maybe new listeners, to call in. Give us a call. The number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. If you have a question, a comment, a concern, a challenge, I welcome all comers, and I look forward to talking to you. If you're listening and it's you're listening to the archive, you're listening from the iTunes download, please feel free to be in ongoing conversation with me. You can always reach me through my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. The SEED stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. And you can email me at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com, or you can contact me through the link on my website. I know you can find me really easily by Googling Jennifer Hope Kotler. That's K-O-T-T-L-E-R. And I would encourage any of you who have any questions or want to be in deeper conversation about this and the work that I do in spiritual direction and life coaching, to please feel free at any time to reach out to me and to just learn more about this work and the ways in which we can incorporate God into our daily lives. I think that's one of the things that I find most compelling about Naked Spirituality, this book that I've been talking about, written by my friend Brian McLaren, is that it's not about having one more thing in your day that you're trying to accomplish. You know, I know that many of you may be thinking, yeah, sure, I don't have 5 hours to commit to my spiritual life. I don't have this time to commit. And that's the beautiful thing, is that living a more deeply spiritual life doesn't mean doing more. It means living in a different way, in a more attentive way, in a more aware way. And he shares some things, ways that we can infuse our lives with prayer, with poetry, song, dance of worship, praise. He said he's tried to maintain several disciplines of worship in my life through the years, each involving a way to render my whole life as a living sacrifice. And he gives different ways that he's done that. First, give God the first greeting every morning. When you wake up, just acknowledge God that thank God you are alive and that you are here. He says, you know, move from here to thanks to worship. He says, oh Lord, good morning. Here I am with you for a new day. And here you are with me as always. Thank you, living God, for this fresh installment in the gracious gift of life. Oh Lord, I worship you for who you are, gracious and compassionate, good and just, holy and forgiving, almighty and gentle. Just saying good morning, God. Being present that it's morning, that you are alive and that God is with us in the day. The second thing he says is give God the first thanks at every meal. He says, I believe the old practice of pausing to thank God before meals is a wise and good one. It reminds me of my creatureliness. Like the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, I am dependent on God for my daily sustenance. A simple act of table grace, giving yourself a moment to pause and to say thank you to the God who is the provider of all. Three says, give God the first response to every pleasure, the things that we see, the things that we love, the things that are beautiful for us, a sunrise, an act of kindness, a rainbow. We forget that although another human being may not be present with us, if we're wishing that our spouse or our friend were there with us, God is there with us at all times. And God is the giver of both good food, he says, and the taste buds to enjoy them. So just remembering God in the midst of our pleasure. Number four, give God the first consideration in your weekly schedule. Just finding time, making time. We don't find time for things. We make time for the things that are truly important. So making time for God, making time for community, where you can practice being in relationship with God in that community. 5, make God the first supervisor or customer for all work. Just reminding ourselves that the work that we do, and however important that is for the customers and for those whom we serve, that God is that person as well. I'd like to seek, says similarly, the gardener, the computer programmer, the program manager, the administrative assistant, the politician, the salesperson, and the banker seek to serve, honor, and worship God as they water, program, manage, assist, govern, sell, and invest. They make their work sacred in this way, and my guess is both their supervisors and their customers and clients will feel the difference. 6, give God the first part of every paycheck. In whatever way that's meaningful for you, whether that's giving it to a church, giving it to a charity, being reminded that all that we have comes from God and it is our responsibility to give that back. 7, give God the joy of your creativity. Since God is at heart a joyful creator, and since you are made in the image of God, you no doubt have found or will find some ways you enjoy being creative. I know that for me, writing is a supremely creative act, as is cooking. And I just give God thanks that I'm able to do those things that I enjoy, whether or not others think that I'm particularly good at them. These are the things that I enjoy. I love to dance. And just to be reminded that our creativity is a gift from God that we are to enjoy and is not to be judged or evaluated on some standard of what is good. So I want to just thank you all for listening in to our show tonight. I hope that you have found it helpful in ways of thinking about prayer. Again, if you would ever like to have a deeper conversation about this and the work that I do as a spiritual director and life purpose coach, I encourage you to send me an email at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. Go to my website, find out more about what I do at www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. And I just wanted to close tonight with a quote from Mother Teresa and a short reflection and a prayer that is from my friend Joshua Dubois' book, The President's Devotional. And comes from August the 20th in this book. And the Mother Teresa says, God is the friend of silence. We need to find God. But we cannot find God in noise and excitement. See how nature, the trees, the flowers, the grass, grows in deep silence. See the stars, the moon, and the sun move in silence. We need this silence in order to touch souls. Joshua writes, we need not always express our own heart. Some meditations are best kept there as thoughts between us and God. Today we seek circumspection, the ability to discern when to speak and when to be silent. Dear God, give me wisdom in my expressions. Help me to know when to speak up and when to be silent. Amen. God bless you. God bless the work that God is doing through you, and may you always be ever mindful of the ways in which God loves you and is working through you to accomplish God's divine purpose. Have a blessed evening, and I look forward to speaking and to hearing from you in 2 weeks. Good night.